About a week ago, Mariana and I traveled to North Platte, Nebraska to go visit my grandparents. And during our time in North Platte, we visited a museum and I learned about the North Platte Canteen, which was an organization women in North Platte put on for the men serving in World War II to give them food, coffee, and just offer hospitality to these men serving. And I remember watching the educational TV video, if you will, in that museum, and I remember listening about the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And I remember that on December 8, 1941, that FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, requested war against Japan. And I can still remember this clear as day. I saw on the TV, it was a shot of Franklin Delano Roosevelt saying, "I declare war on the Japanese." And in that moment, my hair almost stood, or did stand on the back of my head. It was a chilling thing to hear. It was a very real thing to hear. And then since then, young men had been drafted into that war. It's a big war and it's a big deal. Likewise, the book of Ephesians, we are ending the series on the book of Ephesians this week, and it has set up a robust picture of the gospel. It has told us many things about our relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. It has told us about how we are grafted into him by faith. It has told us how we are once dead in the sins and trespasses in which we once walked, but now through faith in him, our hearts are made alive and burst forth with life through faith in him. And then it has painted a picture, okay, so now that we believe in this good news of Jesus Christ, how does that inform our lives? And now Paul takes an abrupt turn and talks about spiritual warfare. See, to the readers, I'm sure, in Ephesus, this would have been quite the abrupt turn. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. He switches gears. He's talking about spiritual warfare at this point. People called out of darkness into God's kingdom, if you're here and if you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if you've realized through the power of the gospel that you are once dead in your sins and your trespasses, you are not able to be alive to God's righteousness and realize that. If you've realized that, if you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted in him for righteousness for yourself to stand before God and salvation for your own soul to stand before God, you have been called out of darkness, you've been called out of Satan's kingdom, you've been called into a marvelous light, and you've been drafted for a mission and a war. The war is fought differently and against different foes. It's different than World War II, but it's just as intense, but way more intense too. We are in a war, a spiritual warfare, that is fought differently and against different foes, fought with the power of the gospel, and fought against the kingdom of darkness, against the devil himself, the schemes that he has been wielding over time, against how the world was that was broken in the beginning, and that rule continues, and now we are engaged in a conflict with this dark and evil force. And even as we have the power of the gospel, even as we have this power, that very power by which we wage this war, that very power by which we are able to stand up to a very powerful opponent, Satan and his minions. In our fallenness, we do one or two things as Christians. If we're left to our own devices and our own flesh, we're either passive in this war, so we are passive, we draw out of it, or we fight fire with fire. So what I mean by fight fire with fire is this, that we turn away from the Word of God, we turn away from the gospel, we turn away from prayer, we take up our own arms and we fight as hard as we can in our own human power, and we actually think in our arrogance that we're able to go against Satan and his kingdom in our own power and fight against it. We are either passive or we fight fire with fire in our fallenness. And what I want to talk to you about today on this last sermon in Ephesians is that we as Christians, we have everything we need for war. So let us take up the gospel, brothers and sisters. Let us take up the gospel for the winning of souls to Christ. this conflict where Satan and his kingdom is actively taking people away from the kingdom of God. He is entrapping people in sin, entrapping people in darkness, and leading them to a place where they will be in eternal conscious destruction and hell separated from him. That's the conflict we are in. He's seeking to drag as many people there as he can. And so we need to respond with the gospel. As we are confronted with the reality of spiritual warfare, we are not passive. We do not fight fire with we do not fight fire with fire, but we are filled with the Spirit. Point number one, don't be passive. When faced with the reality of spiritual warfare, there can be various reasons for passivity. And if I'm being really honest, on the continuum of either being passive or fighting fire with fire, I tend to be more passive. I tend to withdraw from the conflict with Satan's kingdom. I tend to withdraw from the mission of God. And there might be various reasons for this passivity. There might be fear about what might happen if we engage in the mission of God. There might be discouragement. You might find yourself thinking, like, I've tried so hard to be involved in the mission of God. I've tried so hard to be involved in his church. It's been discouraging. I haven't seen fruit. And therefore, I want to withdraw. I'm discouraged. I haven't seen anything happening. And therefore, I'm just going to ride this thing out. Another reason can be comfort. As we live in a culture that is obsessed with comfort, and that's even in my own heart, we can be passive because we want to be comfortable. We just want to live a nice church life. We want to live a nice American life. We just want to go through the motions in our lives. We don't want to be engaged in this intense conflict with Satan's kingdom. And then we withdraw because of that, because of comfort. So there might be many reasons for passivity. Might be many reasons to withdraw from the mission of God. Even so, being passive as a Christian is not an option. We don't get to be neutral. We don't get to sit idly by. See, to be transformed by the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is then to go out and tell others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Paul says here, finally be strong in the Lord. This is an imperative. An imperative means a command. Finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might is the command here. It's not to be passive. It's not to shrink back. It's actually to say, I have everything I need in the gospel. I have the power of the Holy Spirit within me. I have the strongest message ever, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That message that even though things were broken, and I was broken, I was made alive in my heart because I placed faith in Jesus Christ. Even though I was once dead, my heart has been made alive to God. Even though I was once far from God, my faith has bound me close to God. I am not close to evil and Satan anymore, but I am close to him. It is that power that gives us the ability to not shrink back, but we can be bold and we can be strong in the Lord. We can be strong in the strength of his might. We can actually confront the devil himself because of what we are clothed with, which is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we are need to be able to take the gospel out and stand against the devil to do so. Because there is an active opponent to the gospel of Jesus Christ that is wreaking havoc, and we are not passive because of that. Let's just focus on this for just a second. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Let me say just for a second, if we think we're fighting against flesh and blood, we're distracted by Satan. That's not the battle. The battle is against invisible cosmic forces, Satan and his dominions. That power which infiltrates human beings' lives, that power which binds people in sin and darkness, that's what we are against. It's not flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of Satans and demons. It usually looks like ghoulish characters or ghoulish characters with all kinds of fire around it and the like. And while there might be truth into that, there's also not truth in it. Satan is very crafty, he is very smart, he is very deceptive, and he is very powerful. There is a government, if you will, in his kingdom. There is a hierarchy in his kingdom. There's angels in his kingdom. And it works really well to propagate darkness into the world. It's a crafty authority. It's a crafty government, if you will. And it's an invisible one. It's one that's going up in the heavenlies. Not the heavenlies where Jesus is, mind you, but in the visible world, there's an incredible battle going on. And it's wrecking havoc in our world. There's evil in our world. There's fallenness in our world. There's death in our world. There's deception in our world. And it's obviously wrecking havoc. Kent Hughes writes this, quote, "Yet even those who have gone so low have not equaled Satan's evil. The most evil man or the most evil woman you've seen out in the world has not equated to Satan." Kent Hughes writes, "Satan has no conscience, no compassion, no remorse, no morals. He feeds on pain and anguish and filth. He is everything that embodies evil. There's no good in him. It's an evil authority. It's wrecking havoc in our world, and it's not an option to be passive and let him have his way in this world. It's not an option to sit idly by and let him have his way in his world. And there's many ways he runs his deception. It might be hypocrites in long and flowing robes who profess to be ministers of the gospel, who profess to be pastors in churches, who profess to be church members, but are preaching a false gospel. They're being used by Satan to propagate a gospel that does not save, and it's man-centered religion. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "For even Satan masquerades as an angel of light." This is one of the most deceptive ways and probably one of the most destructive ways. He masquerades as an angel of light. He masquerades himself as pastors. He masquerades himself as people who profess Christianity but are not people of the book, who are not the real thing. And this is dangerous because they lead thousands and thousands of people astray into the pits of hell because of what they are doing. Other ways Satan brings his deception could be getting people caught up in sexuality, getting people caught up in materialism, getting people caught up in this, that, or the other thing. And remember, he's very crafty and deceptive. Like a lot of times, he doesn't just pop out and say, "Here I am, I'm Satan." He's very wise, and he knows what will get the hearts of people. So let's not be passive. Let's not shrink back. There's hope, brothers and sisters. Even if you're feeling discouraged like I have in the past, sometimes I feel discouraged, like, I'm working so hard, why is nothing happening? Or I might feel like I'm fearful of what might happen, what people might say, what people might do if I go out with this gospel. But we can know that extreme gospel power is available to us through the Holy Spirit. And we can be sure that even though Satan is a powerful authority, the Lord is much more powerful. So we don't have to be passive. I get that there might be things that lead to that, but we can be confident. We can go out in confidence because of the gospel. Number two, don't fight fire with fire. When faced with the reality of spiritual warfare, again, there can be various reasons for fighting fire with fire. Another one can be fear. These people can look at the world. They can see things are deteriorating. They can maybe sense that they aren't so close to the Spirit. And they get freaked out, and they all of a sudden start doing all kinds of things in their own power. They go ahead of the Lord, and they pull up their bootstraps. They get out the swords and the fire of their own making, and they try hard. They might have a good intention, but it's doing it in their own power. Another one might be pride. Pride thinking is like, I know better than the Word. I know better than the gospel. I have new things I can bring. This can lead to fighting fire with fire. Self-righteousness can lead to fighting fire with fire. Thinking that it's up to me to measure up to God's holiness. Yeah, Jesus is all good and fine. I believed in him, but now I contribute to my righteousness. And I go out fighting fire with fire in this conflict, in this war with Satan. That's not the way. Paul says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand the evil. Even so, fighting with fire is also not an option. Being passive isn't an option, but I'm also not preaching that the answer is to fight fire with fire in our own ways. That's not the answer either. We don't fight fire with fire. We are weak and we need the armor of the Lord. We are weak and we need the power of the Lord. We are weak and we need the salvation of the Lord. We need all of this. I've heard before sermons on this text, and I've heard sermons that kind of seem like there's a lot of truth in it, but what I hear oftentimes is when it comes to the armor of God, it's you put it on yourself. That's the message. You say, you need to have more faith. You need to be more righteous. You need to be a better deliverer of the gospel. You need to be better this, that, or the other thing. We can start to think in our own arrogance that it's up to us to defend against Satan. We can think that, oh, I'm doing these things so I can ward off Satan. We collectively are doing things that can ward off Satan. We can start thinking this way. Now, struck one summer afternoon, when I was living in Oklahoma, I was walking through downtown Oklahoma City, and if you've ever been in Oklahoma City or a city like it, massive church buildings. There was one, I couldn't believe how tall it was. And I remember I came to the cornerstone of one church building in particular, and I looked way up, and I saw all these gargoyles on the front of the building and all the way around it. And I didn't really know what that was supposed to mean, but upon looking it up, whoever built that church believed that me putting the gargoyles there will ward off Satan. It'll be scary enough, Satan won't come into this building. See what they were doing there? They were thinking, it's up to us. We can ward it off. I don't care how big a building, how big a fortress we craft, how righteous we can be in our own power, how good we can do our own power, it will not be enough to ward off Satan. He is way more powerful than we are. So we don't try to defend ourselves on our own terms, brothers and sisters. I will go through this really quickly here, the armor of God. So rather than defending yourself, here's what it looks like, the armor of God. It says, stand therefore having fastened on the belt of truth, the belt of truth being the word. We don't get revelations in our minds or our hearts that are apart from the word. This is the truth. This is the belt of truth. We go out preaching in the power of this word. We go out telling other people about God and the gospel through the power of this word alone. And if it contradicts it, we don't have the belt of truth on and we are susceptible to destruction. Having the blessed breastplate of righteousness on, that big breastplate, that even when the enemy is shooting flaming darts at you, saying that you are not righteous enough, you are condemned, when he tempts us to despair because of our sin, when he says you are not righteous enough to measure up to God's holy standard, or when we're trying to measure up to God's holy standard, we choose to take off the breastplate to make ourselves exposed. But here's the really cool thing about the gospel. It's a big word called imputed righteousness. Imputed righteousness means that when Jesus died, he took our sin, it was placed on him, and then guess what was placed upon us in return? His righteousness. Isn't that crazy? As sinful, broken human beings, his righteousness is placed on us. And so even as these arrows and attacks come, we put on the breastplate of righteousness to defend our vital organs, our heart, so that those attacks won't get us, but that we are standing strong in his righteousness and his goodness before a holy God. Shoes on your feet, having the readiness given by the gospel of peace. These shoes are Roman boots that when you're standing on a hill, you can dig your heel in and not shrink back. When we have the power of the gospel in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, when people come against us and question the goodness of God, we stand firm with this message of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We stand firm with this. And in all circumstances, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation, guarding our hearts and our minds. So when doubts come about our salvation, that wards that off. The shield of faith through Jesus. When things get difficult, things go wrong in life, attacks come from Satan, we're able to ward that off. So I hope what you're seeing is this. Satan is stronger than us. We do not fight fire with fire. If we try to fight him ourselves, he will defeat us. But if we close ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ through the gospel, we have all this armor on us. And then we go forth with the victory. So don't be passive. Don't fight fire with fire, but be filled with the Spirit. To go forth with the mission of God is to be Spirit-filled. There's no other option. We can't go out with the mission of God if we're not Spirit-filled. We cannot go out on the mission of God if we are not, if the gospel has not awoken our hearts. We cannot go out with any other message other than the gospel. To go forth with the mission of God is to be Spirit-filled, because it's only through this that we can accomplish the mission of God. And it is to fight the battle the Lord's way through the gospel. It's not through anger, it's not through wrath, it's not through cunning strategies or schemes, but it's by the Lord's way that we battle. It's through the gospel. Verse 18, how does this look? It's upside down. Like, a lot of times if we're going out to war, we muster up all the wrath we can. We muster up all the anger that we can. We muster up all the human strength that we can to go out against the enemy. Did you know that the gospel is upside down? It's actually that acknowledging that we're weak. It's acknowledging that we don't have anything to fight against the powers of sin, death, and destruction. Fighting war against a powerful, evil, tyrannical foe starts with praying in the Spirit. It starts with accepting the gospel. Hear these words, brothers and sisters. Verse 18, so we've gone through the armor of God. Now, how is it that we put this on and go out? Praying at all times in the Spirit, without prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Spirit-filled prayer, recognizing the gospel, leaving our ways behind of which we think will fight the war best. Because brothers and sisters, do you know, as we go out in this conflict against Satan and his foes, we go out seeking to save souls which are lost. We go out seeking for us to see ourselves become better Christ followers. It doesn't start with works. While many things are good things, like fasting, prayer, and that like, it doesn't start with that. It doesn't start with works. It starts by us hitting the floor on our knees in prayer. It starts by accepting the message of the gospel as the one and only true rule. It starts by saying we are weak. We do not have the ability to fight this war on our own. It starts by saying we do not have anything in order to do this. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Looking to Jesus, saying, I need your Spirit. I'm so weak. Asking Jesus for this good and perfect gift. Praying in the Spirit is not legalistic prayer. It's not insisting that you pray in your own power. Praying in the Spirit is giving up all that. It's saying, I am weak, you are strong, I need your power. And then saying, Jesus, your gospel, Lord God, your gospel that you've crafted throughout this whole book is the powerful one. It's the message I cling to. Because we're in a spiritual battle that's waging war and it's destroying souls, we engage the power of the gospel and are indeed ambassadors for this message. We go out with this message, brothers and sisters. So as a church, as we start, go and tell the others next week. Grandview Covenant Church, what's your posture before the Lord God in your heart? Do you think you got this on your own? We're going to go out fighting fire with fire. Are we going to shrink back and be passive until the Lord comes back or we go to be with Him? I invite you to prayer regarding this. I invite you to the power of the gospel regarding this. Before anything else, this is what we trust in. Before anything else, we look to the one who can clothe us with this armor. Before anything else. And the cool thing is, sounds bleak right now. It sounds like there's a lot of destruction going on right now. But as we armor up, as we trust in the power of the gospel, as Colossians 2:15 says, there is victory. Paul writes here, and to be on the Lord's side is to be on the winning side. Or excuse me, that was my words. And to be on the Lord's side is to be on the winning side. Quote Paul, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. He's putting them to open shame by the power of the cross. He disarmed the power of the authorities by giving up everything. He disarmed the power of the authorities by taking on our sin. It was through the cross, by Jesus, and that one day when he comes back again, it's all eradicated, it's all done with. Jesus is the triumphant. God Almighty, the Holy One, is triumphant, and we're triumphant because we're co-heirs with him, and we'll stand forever in his righteousness because of Jesus Christ, because of God's plan of salvation. This is what we look forward to. This is our vision going forward. As we go forth with the gospel being the center, as we go forth with the gospel being the center, as we go forth with the gospel being the center, we look to him. We look to the victory that we have on the horizon. We look forward to when we know that everything will be done away with that is evil. And then for the time being, we go out and we tell the others about Jesus. We tell the others the only message that has the power to save from a tyrannical authority. The deeds are evil, and a war is waging right now. What is our response going to be? This is really serious stuff, if I'm being honest with you. We have a choice how we're going to respond to this. Are we going to shrink back out of discouragement, fear, or comfort? Are we going to fight fire with fire? Or are we going to be seeking to be filled with the Spirit and the gospel? To the darkness here in our own community, whether it be darkness in our schools, what our youth is going through right now, whether it be people who have lost loved ones tragically, whether it be those who are caught up in man-made, self-centered religion that may look like the real thing but is not, whether it look like an increasingly amount of immorality is going on in our culture, whether it be sexuality or the other thing, whether it be this, that, or the other thing, to the darkness in our community, what's our response going to be? Are we going to be passive, or are we going to fight fire with fire, or are we going to be filled with the Spirit? We can be passive, we can fight fire with fire, or we can be yielded to the Spirit and be engaged in the battle his way. And as your pastor, I'm saying I'm leading to do it God's way. I'm leading to be filled with the Spirit. It's not something I can do. Like, I'm not a priest. Jesus is the high priest. He's the prophet. He's the king. He fills us with the Spirit. We are yielded to the Spirit, and we engage battle his way, and it's with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's this word alone. We do not turn away from it. It's his way alone. We don't turn away from it. And it's his salvation alone. We don't turn away from it. I invite you to this message and this Lord, this good Lord that has triumphed over the powers of the evil. And if we are with him, we are also triumphant with him. Amen.